Before we begin formally the brief memorial service, let me have just a minute for a word of explanation. First, I'm indebted to Dr. Johnson and the ensemble and Lynn Bratcher for the Kol Nidre, and certainly to Jeff Rogers for doing the cantoral part. But I wanted to say a word of explanation also about Yom HaShoah V'Hagvurah. In the Hebrew calendar, there are many, many festival days, as most of you know. And there's only one day in the Hebrew calendar up until modern times that was not considered a festival. And on every occasion in Hebrew religious and national life, the proper greeting on any kind of official calendar occasion was to say Chag Sameach, joyous feast, joyous festival. The one exception being the Day of Atonement, which is the day of confession for sin, day of fasting. And one would never say to a Jewish person on Yom HaKippurim, Chag Sameach, joyous festival. And you and I have lived to see the time come when there's been added to the Hebrew calendar another day that is not considered a festival occasion. And it is called by its proper Hebrew title in the Hebrew calendar since the end of the Second World War, Yom HaShoah V'Hagvurah, the day of devastation and of heroism. Some years ago, Governor James B. Hunt, governor of North Carolina, announced to the public that he was going to appoint a council, a North Carolina council on Holocaust Memorial, and charged it with the responsibility not only to arrange a public memorial service on behalf of the state every year, but also assigned to that council a long list of awesome responsibilities for education and other things, all of which are in process at the moment. And I had the good fortune, or the bad luck, depending on how one looks at it, to be appointed by the governor as chairman of that North Carolina Council on Holocaust. And every year at the season of Yom HaShoah V'Hagvurah, we plan and execute on his behalf and behalf of the state and all its people a statewide celebration, or that's the wrong word to use too, because it's not really a celebration, it's a memorial, a remembrance. And we had one official such remembrance this past Sunday at First Baptist Church at 3:00 in the afternoon, where in spite of all of the hindrances of the Raleigh Road Race and other things, we managed to get about 350 people present for that service. Then the city of Greensboro had one Sunday night, which I also attended, in which I had part. And according to the news story that came out today, there were 900 people at that service. Other cities, Durham, Charlotte, Asheville, and other cities in North Carolina also have official remembrances. And of course, every synagogue has such remembrances. And in the development of this Yom HaShoah in the Hebrew calendar, and finally getting it added to the calendar, it was decided that it would begin on the 27th of Iyar, which is exactly 12 days after Passover. So at any time in the future when you have occasion to know about or be interested in or see or participate in a memorial to the Holocaust victims, that period, the 12 days between Passover and the 27th of Iyar, which was Sunday, is the period of mourning and grief. And those of you who have known me through the years know that my own concern about it and my own involvement in it has resulted in the wearing of this yellow star, which was a symbol that was forced on the Jews of Europe. And it's not for some petty reason, and it's awfully embarrassing sometimes, especially when you get asked the kind of question one gets for wearing this star 12 days. But it seems to me that that's the least I can do as a Christian, to keep alive and sacred the memory of nearly 12 million people. And it's the memory of these that we today come here to memorialize in this very brief observation. I should like for the service to proceed without any further interruption. We'll have the prayer and the kol nidre and the brief meditation. And then as soon as the meditation is finished, if you will please stand, we'll pray together this prayer for our nation responsively. And then immediately following the benediction, we will leave. And now let us join together in prayer. O thou merciful God of the ages, creator, sustainer, and redeemer of the universe which thou hast made, God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, thou who didst show to us in the incarnation what thou alone dost know and think about the human experiment, may we never lose sight of that wonderful and awesome and mysterious truth of the incarnation. And may we let that be the standard by which we gauge every human being. And give us the grace, even when it hurts us, to accept every single human person on the face of the earth as being in thy divine image, and therefore deserving of honor and love and respect. On this special occasion, when we come aside from our busy lives to remember the victims of the Holocaust, our hearts are made heavy with grief, but also they're heavy because we know that in some measure, known only to thee, we are responsible ourselves for the shape of the world of our time, and for such things to happen is in some measure for us to fail to do our duty and to be the men and women of God. And on this memorial occasion, we hold up to you the memory of every victim of the Holocaust. But we also hold up before you all hurt and suffering people today in the world. The downcast, the underprivileged, the cold, the hungry, the ill-clad, the poorly housed, the ignorant. We would also hold up before you those who are in prisons, who are being held by the rest of us without their freedoms and without their dignity and without their God-given rights. And help us to see that just as the Holocaust of 50 years ago was not the answer to man's problems, neither is prison the answer, neither are atomic bombs the answer. The answer must lie somewhere in our hearts. Grant to give us the grace to see it and to know it, and then to spread it abroad. Bless us now as we continue to honor thee and the memory of those whose lives were so cruelly and brutally taken, as we pray in the name of the gentle Jew Jesus, who loved us and gave his life for us. Amen. It was on January the 30th, 1933, 50 years ago, that Paul von Hindenburg, president of Germany, appointed Adolf Hitler as Chancellor of the German Republic. Thus was launched officially 12 years of the most cruel hell the human mind could invent. And that nightmare of horrors did not end, however, with the disappearance of Adolf Hitler in 1945. The world will never be the same again. That momentous, calamitous decision of von Hindenburg left scars on the face of history that will influence forever the way men and nations behave. The upheavals in politics, economics, and world morality today are traceable in large measure to that tragic, sad appointment. Most of the churches of the world still are haunted by the disturbing memory that they did not do their best in that awful time. In many cases, they are still impotent to effect the moral climate in which all of us can repent, then rise from the rubble of our age truly to be the people of God. That is exactly what must happen before we can do the work of God. One act of penance that all of us can do is to honor the memory of those millions of innocent victims of the Holocaust. And that is the reason for our presence here today in this chapel service. By keeping alive their memory, we can make at least one step toward building a society and a moral climate where such a horror can never occur again. We're gathered here today to remember and to answer that awful question, why? Why remember? And why traumatize ourselves by recalling that nightmare of hell? We remember it because it's right to do so. It is the moral and the ethical thing to do. And good people do what is morally right because it is moral and because it is right. Truly good people do not count the cost or the risk in doing justice. They do justice for God's sake. Remember what Micah said, the prophet of the 8th century? It hath been shown to thee, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of thee but to do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. The whole created order of things groans for good to be done. And the world cannot endure much longer unless those of us who know to do right actually do it with all our hearts. And this, I think, is really our only hope. But also we remember because the blood of 11 and a half or 12 million innocent victims of the Holocaust cries out from the ground. We are our brothers and our sisters' keepers. Those 11 to 12 million victims were innocent, non-combatant civilians who were massacred deliberately. They were not the incidental helpless victims of military action, of indiscriminate bombing and shelling, of whom also there were countless millions. They were men, women, and little children whose names were known, who were tracked down and arrested, who were sought out and eliminated, who were starved in prisons, who were lined up and shot by an empty grave, or who were put into gas chambers and were deliberately and willfully killed. All of the victims were precious human beings, and every one was sacred and must be remembered as such. But sight cannot be lost to the fact that again we make special remembrance at this season of Yom HaShoah V'Hagavurah because over half of those eliminated, 6.5 million, were Jews. These included 1.5 million little children, helpless, innocent, frightened, bewildered. And this was genocide. These Jews were eliminated simply because they were Jews. This was the result of an organized program to wipe out the Jewish people. And for that reason, if for no other, it was the more horrendous and sui generis, without parallel. Further, we make this remembrance observance today because there are coming up among us now those who are 2 and 3 generations removed historically from the Holocaust. Somehow they must be taught the causes and the evil effects of the Holocaust so that history will not visit upon their children a worse horror. Santayana, you remember, said, "Those of us who forget history are doomed to relive it. God forbid." Do not be misled into believing that it could never happen again. There are powerful people today, some of them in well-financed, highly organized groups, who are at work vigorously trying to persuade the world that the Holocaust never really happened, that it is a cruel hoax. One has only to hear the witness of General Dwight David Eisenhower when he saw the camp at Ohrdruf in 1945 to know that this effort to deny the Holocaust must never be allowed to succeed. And I quote General Eisenhower's statement: "I visited every nook and cranny of that camp because I felt it my duty to be in position from then on to testify at firsthand about those things, in case there ever grew up at home the belief or the assumption that the stories of Nazi brutality were just propaganda." Yom HaShoah is the day of destruction and devastation, and we certainly must remember it, but its full name is Yom HaShoah VeHaGevurah, the day of destruction and the day of heroism. This is not only the 50th anniversary of the rise of Hitler, it's also the 40th anniversary of the heroic revolt of the Warsaw Ghetto. It was on the 19th of April, 1943, when those hundreds of thousands of Jews who had finally been herded into that ghetto and into the sewer system of Warsaw decided to revolt. And the revolt lasted 3 weeks. A little less than 3 weeks, at the end of which almost all of them had been killed, with bombs thrown in manholes, fire bombs, bullets, poison gas, and every other way that could be invented to destroy that struggling community. And this we remember today, and we honor those heroes and heroines who fought against hopeless, impossible odds. And they knew they could not win. And yet they did win. They demonstrated by their heroism for all time to come that some things are worse than death. And they won by showing posterity that to acquiesce in the face of evil is to permit evil to be triumphant. God, give us the grace today to follow their example as we make remembrance of them on this Yom HaShoah, the HaGevurah. Now may we stand and pray the benediction together. Mighty God, the earth is yours and the nations are your people. Take away our pride and bring to mind your goodness so that living together in this land, we may enjoy your gifts and be thankful. O God, your justice is like a rock, and your mercy like pure flowing water. Judge and forgive us if we have turned from you. Return us to your way, for without you we are lost people. From division among us of class or race, from neglecting rights, from overlooking the hurt, the imprisoned, and the needy among us. Eternal God, before you, nations rise and fall. They grow strong or they wither by your design. Help us to repent our country's wrong and to choose your right in reunion and renewal. Teach us peace so that we may plow up the battlefield and pound the weapons into building tools and learn to talk across old boundaries as brothers in your love. Great God, eternal Lord, long years ago you gave our fathers this land as a home for free men. Show us there is no law or liberty apart from you, and let us serve you modestly as devoted people. We commit our government of the people, by the people, and for the people to work for life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness for all people. Amen.